Welcome to Believing the Bible with Pastor Scott Mitchell of Grace Family Bible Church. Believing the Bible is a program devoted to rightly dividing the word of truth. We hope you will read along in your Bible with Brother Scott, or write down the scripture verses to study later. May you prayerfully and carefully consider the word of God as we study together. And now, here's Brother Scott.
Hello and welcome again to Believing the Bible. Thank you for listening today. I pray the message is a blessing to you, and I pray you'll search the scriptures to see whether these things that are said are so. I'm aware of the fact that the church of the body of Christ today has confused its purpose, and that instead of calling out of this earth a heavenly church to be caught up to be with the Lord, they've set about to build and establish the kingdom on the earth, the kingdom of heaven, which is not even our inheritance. We are certainly all in the kingdom of God, which comprises heaven and earth. But the body of Christ is distinctively spiritual with a heavenly inheritance. And when we lose sight of that fact, our purpose gets distorted and we become a part of an apostate system that is failing in its mission to preach the gospel of Christ to the lost, in order that men might be saved and redeemed out of this world. Why don't you join me as we search some things about this? Notice in Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, Jesus Christ said to us through the hand of Paul, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Then we have all spiritual blessings. I realize there's a popular book on the market today that would have you pray a certain prayer in order that you would be blessed with physical things. But God never told you he was going to bless you with physical things. As he told Israel, he would bless them with wealth and health and long life, the fruit of the land, and the earth would yield its abundance, the latter rain, the former rain, a land flowing with milk and honey, protection from their enemies, if they obeyed his voice. Sadly, many Christians today confuse those promises with the promises made to the body of Christ, and they're just not the same. We have all spiritual blessings, and notice where they are in verse 3. They are in heavenly places in Christ. Our spiritual blessings are in our Savior, who is right now not on this earth. He is far above all heavens. Notice verse 20. God wrought his mighty power, according to verse 19, and then he says, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Then I know by the passage that the church is the body of Christ. I know that Jesus Christ is seated in the heavenly places at God's own right hand. And yes, I do believe it is a physical throne. And it may not be the physical makeup of things we see in this world, but Jesus Christ is in a location, in a place, a heavenly place, and it's even located in verse 21, far above all principality and power and everything else. I believe with all my heart that Jesus Christ is literally seated on a throne up there somewhere, because the Bible tells me that he is. And I don't have a problem understanding it, but I'm aware of the fact that men have a problem believing it. Well, if that's where Jesus Christ is, and the Bible says that he is, then that is where all our spiritual blessings are, in the heavenly places. And that is a location which is far above all heavens. That's where you are in Christ. Look in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. After explaining that we are by nature the children of wrath, it says, "But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Then I realize we are physically not yet there because we have not yet been redeemed out of this world. But we are there judicially, or if you prefer, positionally, and perhaps even spiritually, because it is a past tense reference. Hath raised us up together and hath made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Then our position in Christ is in the heavenly places where he is. Why then would you want to advance the kingdom of heaven here on the earth when it's not even your inheritance? Why are there churches today praying the so-called Lord's Prayer? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That kingdom on the earth has nothing to do with the body of Christ. Even C.I. Schofield recognized this. People call him a dispensationalist, and so do they call me, and I do believe we live in the dispensation of grace. I don't believe that C.I. Schofield and I would agree doctrinally on every point of Scripture, but he did refer to the fact that the church has failed to follow her appointed pathway of separation, holiness, heavenliness, and testimony to an absent but coming Christ, and the church has turned aside from that purpose to the work of civilizing the world, building magnificent temples, and acquiring earthly power and wealth. And henceforth they cease to follow the purpose that God has given the church. Because they have tried to appropriate the promises given to Israel, which are physical, earthly promises, instead of appropriating the spiritual blessings and the spiritual calling that is ours in Christ Jesus. Notice what Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 3. In verse 1 he says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Now, if that's not a locational term, I don't know what is. Above, below, over, under, seated. I mean, come on, a child understands that. But you know what? Bible theologians and scholars can't understand that. They make statements like, you can't assign a physical realm to a non-corporeal being. Well, that sounds very lofty and stolid, but you know what? Jesus Christ is not a non-corporeal being. He was certainly incarnated when he was born of a virgin, and he lived as a man in a body of flesh in order that he might be obedient to death. But when God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, he had a body. I'll show you that in just a moment. Let's finish the passage in Colossians 3, verse 1. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. If that's not true, then the Bible's a lie. Jesus Christ is sitting at God's right hand. He says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Then our life, our eternal life, is in Christ with God, and he's far above all heavens. I'm aware that he's coming back to this earth, and I'm aware that he's going to establish a kingdom and a throne on the earth. But it doesn't have anything to do with you, because those promises were made by God to Israel. They are for Israel, and you can't claim their promises. Somehow along the way, the church, the body of Christ, got this cockamamie idea that we have supplanted the promises made by God to a nation, the nation Israel, and that now we are Israel, we are God's chosen people as the body of Christ. And that's simply not true. The promises God made to Israel have not been supplanted. They have been postponed. God is not dealing with Israel as a nation today. He's dealing with all men as individuals today by means of a mystery revealed to our apostle, Paul. And that mystery contains the gospel of our salvation, the gospel of Christ. It's not connected to any promises made to Israel other than the promise of righteousness that is revealed by the gospel. But our inheritance locationally is separate from Israel and separate from their inheritance. God will perform that which he said he would do with Israel. Now remember what I said about Jesus Christ having a body after he rose from the dead? Look with me in Luke 24. In Luke 24, notice verse 33. And they rose up the same hour, that would be the two that were on their way to Emmaus, and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them. Those would be the disciples. Verse 34, saying, The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. Then bless God, the risen Lord Jesus Christ has flesh and bones. I would suggest to you that he didn't have blood, for he shed that blood for our sins at Calvary. But he has a body, and it's a quickened body. It's a glorified body, but it's physical and it's real, and it can stand in the midst and it can sit in a throne. And they held him, and he ate with them, and then he disappeared. Now that physical body was going to be necessary because Jesus Christ is going to sit on a physical throne on the earth ruling for 1,000 years. Notice, if you will, in Matthew 19. In Matthew 19, verse 27, Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Well, bless God, that's a promise he made to the 12, not to you. You're not going to sit on a throne and judge any of the tribes of Israel. The 12 tribes of Israel are going to judge the nations. Look in Matthew 25. In verse 31, it says, When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. The throne of his glory is on the earth. It's in Jerusalem. He's going to sit with a body on a throne, and the 12 disciples are going to judge the 12 tribes of Israel. And they are going to rule the nations. Watch. Verse 32. And before him, the Son of Man, which is Jesus Christ, shall be gathered all nations. And he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Again, locational terms, left and right. The nations are divided. They're divided as a shepherd divides sheep and goats. The nations on the right hand will be likened unto sheep. The nations on the left hand shall be likened unto goats. Then shall the king say unto them, verse 34, on his right hand, he's talking to nations. He says, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now, I'm not interested today in getting into why, but the point is these nations, Gentile nations, that feared God and blessed Israel, end up on God's right hand and go into a kingdom that is on the earth, a kingdom prepared for them from the foundation of the world. The purpose of this kingdom is to separate out from the world those that are against Israel, and they'll be destroyed in everlasting fire, the goats on the left hand, the nations. But the nations on the right hand, likened unto sheep, come into the kingdom, and the tribes of Israel are going to go ye therefore and teach all nations at that time and establish God's kingdom on the earth at that time. But right now, that's not going on. At least God's kingdom on the earth is not being promoted. But the church is promoting a kingdom on the earth. And sadly, it's the wrong one. Because we've lost sight of our heavenly inheritance. And we've set our affections on things below and not on things above. We are advancing the kingdom of the God of this world.
What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear.
Notice, if you will, in Matthew chapter 11. In Matthew chapter 11, Jesus Christ is referring to John the Baptist. And he says in verse 7, "And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force." Now, what on earth could he have meant? The violent take the kingdom of heaven by force? Well, I want you to notice something. Look with me in Acts chapter 7. In Acts chapter 7, we find the stoning of Stephen, the first martyr. And as they gnashed on him with their teeth, it says in verse 55, "But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." Again, a positional term. But notice how that differs from what Paul said. You remember what it was that Paul said Jesus was doing on the right hand of God? Paul said he's seated. Stephen said he's standing. Now, I'm not very smart, but I know the difference between seated and standing. Seated implies rest. Standing implies ready to do some action. He's either about to sit or he's about to go. Now, there's a heavenly city called New Jerusalem in your Bible that comes down when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back to this earth, when the Son of Man comes to sit on the throne of his glory. And he is the temple of it, the Lord is, and on and on. In fact, the believers that overcome will be in that city, and they'll reign over the earth. Jesus Christ appeared on this earth preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." If it was at hand, then it must have been close by and near in time. And yet Israel rejected Christ as king, and they crucified him. But had they received the preaching of the 12, the kingdom would have come. The 7 years of tribulation would have begun, and that city would have descended down from heaven. So it is very possible that when Stephen saw Jesus Christ standing on the right hand of God, he saw him standing in that city. But we're talking about a city that was besieged, because the god of this world, Satan, and his angels are the violent that took the kingdom by force. And when Jesus Christ saw that he was rejected not only of his own when he came to them, but when they killed Stephen, Stephen died seeing Jesus Christ standing. And the next thing you know, Jesus Christ appeared to Saul of Tarsus, saved Saul, who's also called Paul, and Paul wrote that Christ is seated far above all heavens. Well, I would suggest to you that Jesus Christ left the realm of where that city is, and he went up to be with the Father far above all heavens and took his angels with him. And the devil and his angels seized that city, and he's reigning on that throne over this world, an imposter. And his ministers are transformed as the ministers of righteousness in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. He's the great deceiver, but he wants to be like God. People think the devil is red, scaly, with a bifurcated tail and a hay fork standing down in the flames of hell. He's not. He's the ruler of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. And notice where we find him when the 7 years of tribulation do begin. Revelation 12. We find in Revelation 12:7 a future passage. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. Well, then I know that the dragon and his angels are in heaven, not the heaven above all heavens where God in his pureness and holiness is, and Jesus Christ is, and you are in Christ. Verse 9, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, and on and on. Satan's going to be cast out of heaven where he is now, most likely ruling over the throne that Jesus Christ is going to take back. Because the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent took it by force when the children of the promise rejected the Messiah and began to kill the apostles and the disciples. And Jesus Christ left the realm of heaven and went up far above all heavens, but not before he called out an individual named Saul and revealed to him a mystery, the gospel of your salvation, by which he could call out of this world a body of believers with a heavenly calling to be his body in glory throughout eternity, not associated with the world and not associated with that city either. And by the way, if you'll search it out and study the scriptures, that city, New Jerusalem, is the bride of Christ. You are not. I know that's going to bother some of you. You've been told all your life that we're the bride, but the body of Christ is not the bride. It is male. Jesus Christ is not marrying himself. The body of Christ is his body. It is a male body of believers. The bride of Christ is a city unto whom he shall be joined when he comes back. Now, speaking of his coming, in that coming, when he returns to the earth, he comes with all his holy angels. We saw that in Matthew 25. And he'll reign over the earth. And that's when his kingdom will come. You got no business praying for that. You need to be praying for the coming in which he catches you and the body of Christ out of this world. And you'll see it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Paul is talking about those that have already died who are believers in Jesus Christ. And he says in verse 13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. That is a great comfort. The church, the body of Christ, is being called out to be caught up. We're going to be taken out of this world to our heavenly inheritance and our spiritual blessings where the Lord Jesus Christ is. Remember reading back in Colossians 3, set your affections on things above? Well, he also said, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Jesus Christ is going to appear in the clouds, and the body of Christ will go up to meet him in the clouds. He's catching us out of the world. Then the tribulation time period will begin, and the Lord will return with his angels to set up his kingdom on the earth. That's not your calling, beloved. Your calling is to preach the gospel of Christ and gather out of this world those who will believe on him to be caught up to be in that inheritance in glory. I pray that you will trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior so that you too can be caught up someday soon to meet the Lord in the clouds. I thank you for listening. You've been listening to Believing the Bible every Sunday morning at 7:30 a.m. on 1580 KWED. I'm Brother Scott Mitchell with Grace Family Bible Church. I'd love to hear your thoughts about the program, whether you agree or disagree. You can write me at Scott Mitchell, 17 Cherry Hill, Seguin, Texas, 78155.